series called Shine Like Stars, and we're going to be doing this in the morning and the night. It's going to be a different preacher, but we're going to be doing it both morning and night, this Shine Like Stars series. We're going to be doing it in our Bible studies, and if you miss home group or you're not in a home group and you're on the email list, you'll get emailed the Bible study, so you can do that at home in your own time. So make sure you get involved. I have to get them out later. I've got some little stars who put... Come on, a bit of honesty. Who put their stars up last week? Some of you. I know some of you did. I had a chat with some of you. I handed out some little gold stars. Get some today if you didn't get them. I want you to stick them somewhere for this term to remind you what we're talking about, to pray about what we're talking about, and to try and keep you on track with some of the things we're doing. So I'll hand some more of those out at the end. Have you got them up there, Sam, at the sound desk? Yeah, maybe Chris at the end. Could you grab those and hand some of those out? So make sure you get those, stick them on your computer if you're at work, or I know someone put it on their glasses case, and all because they're always opening their glasses, just to remind us of the topic we're doing. It's good to keep being reminded. So what are we actually talking about in this series, Shine Like Stars? Well, it's based on Philippians 2, which says, shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. So we're talking about this term. What does it mean to shine? What does it mean to live as a Christian in this world? And if you're here last week, remember it said, the Apostle Paul looked at his generation and said, we're living in a crooked and depraved generation where we're going to shine like stars. And so we said last week, it doesn't depend on good government for you to shine. It doesn't depend on you having all the culture around you loving you to be able to shine. You shine in the darkness. And we are going to shine. So the first thing I guess we've got to start asking, and what we're going to be asking this term, is what on earth are we actually shining? It's good to speak a bit of Christianese. You didn't know Christianese was a language, did you? Some of you knew that, didn't you? Who knows Christianese? Yeah, well, I've probably done a bit of Christianese with people. Christianese is a special language where we either speak all these Christian terms that we either don't know what they even mean, or we just speak them to sound important, or we speak them and we don't even know what we're actually talking about. And so we can speak a bit of Christianese and say, isn't it lovely? We're going to shine like stars. And we all go home going, oh, shine like stars. Isn't that lovely? And then we go, what on earth does that mean? We actually need to start unpacking. And that's what we're going to do this term. We're going to unpack what it actually means to shine. What on earth are we actually shining? Because there's a whole lot of different things we could shine. What on earth are we shining? So last week we looked at the introduction passage, it's shining like stars. And this week we're going to look at what I think is the most important shining thing, the thing that we're supposed to shine the most. And here we go. And so today we're going to be looking at something, and you're not going to be shocked, right? So you're all going to go, oh, is that it? I could have stayed at home and worked that one out, Matt. So you're not going to be that shocked, okay? You're going to be, okay, I know that. But it's what we need to be reminded about. It's what we need to keep focused on. And it's why today, and you're thinking, why have we got communion? Because it's not the first Sunday of the month. Can we change it up and do it on a different day? Is that okay? Yeah? Oh, no. It's why we've got communion today, because today we're going to really aim more at the heart than the head and ask, well, what is it we're supposed to be shining? We're going to ask, what's the main thing we're supposed to be shining? And you might have got a clue already if you saw the first slide. So we're going to have our reading now from Gail. And even though I told her chapter 2 during the week, I've told her it's chapter 1 now today. So let's hope she reads chapter 1. And then we're going to watch a little video. It's a different version of the old hymn, I Surrender All. So we'll do that after the reading, have that video next. That's good. For a while there, she was sitting in the chair reading. Now she's up the steps. You want to put it up here?
Oh, dear. You notice that? It's what that Calvary is all about. Paid in full. Yeah. A little sign I've got on the Bible. Where is it, Matt? Good. And we're reading from Philippians 1, 21 to 27, and I'm reading from the New King James. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labour. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you, all for your progress and joy and faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Christ Jesus by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So ends the reading.
I think I get the message. I think you can. I surrender some. If we can have the next lot of slides up there, please. So we're looking at shining like stars. And if you read those verses that were just read then, if you paid attention, you could see the commitment of the Apostle Paul to Jesus. And then today we're going to reflect on our own sense of commitment to Jesus. Shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. And so for me, before we start talking about the different practical things of what we do and how we're going to shine, we're going to love this person and we're going to do this ministry and we're going to tell this and we're going to have this doctrine, before we even get to all that, I think there's something prior to all that, and I think it's this. Shine what? Shine. And I said it's going to be simple. You're not shocked, are you? But this is at the heart of the matter, isn't it? Is that what holds us together, what gives us hope, is the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Before we talk about a doctrine or a list of topics or a list of behaviours or whatever it is we expect from people, well, before we talk about all that, at the heart of what we're shining is the person of Jesus Christ. It's personal. You're not shining a list of rules, are you? You're shining the person of Jesus Christ. We are in a relationship, aren't we? I don't want any religion. I've talked about so many times before the amount of people that say, oh, you're the religious guy or the religious person. I don't want religion. Religion is a set of rules that you do that someone might like you or accept you. That's religion. Relationship is the living God, Jesus, who is alive. I have a relationship with the living Jesus. And so what I'm going to shine is I'm going to shine the person of Jesus. This is where the shining comes from, doesn't it? Reflecting Jesus Christ in me. It's not God, my heavenly boss. It's God, my heavenly what? It's relationship. He's real. Jesus is a real person. He's not just an idea. Yes, he's different to people like sitting here because he's the Son of God. He's the God-man, but he's a person. And so, mind you, is the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. The Holy Spirit's not some force. It's personal. I've got my little book, left it over there, but I won't worry. But grab it out, James. Yeah, grab it out. It's in that middle pocket there. In the next one, I think, isn't it? No, there. No. This one here. There it is. This is my special little book. It's called Baptist Basics. I can teach you all about being a Baptist. Aren't you excited? Now, I'm probably going to have a line-up at the end of church of people wanting to borrow this book. I can tell because you're all so excited to know about what it means to be a good Baptist. But I do like this little book because when I open up this book, this is what the very start of the book says. The number one question is not why be a Baptist, it's are you a Christian? All Baptists would say it's more important that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and that you have a living relationship with God than you belong to any particular group of Christians. Isn't that a great start to the Baptist beliefs? What does it mean to be a Baptist? Well, you've got to do this, this, and this. No, no. What does it mean to be a Baptist? Well, it's got nothing to do with being a Baptist. It's all about who? Jesus. And so the heart of the matter of what we're shining, it's personal. It's the person of Jesus. He's real. He's a real person. He's with every believer. So the question is, how close do you feel to him? You do know you're allowed to feel things in Christianity and in church. Did you know that? It doesn't all have to stay up here, does it? We're allowed to experience things, aren't we? Or are we just going to leave that to all the Pentecostals so they can have all the fun? Yeah? You're allowed to experience things and feel things. This is a personal thing. We are shining the person of Jesus Christ. He's real. He's alive. He's the Son of God. And that's who we're shining. Often when I meet with James and we have a chat about life and ministry, one of the questions I ask him sometimes, I don't say, well, tell me about, give me a list of your sins and your wins and where you failed. I say, oh, how are you and Jesus going this week? Because that's what it is, isn't it? It's personal. It's not, well, tell me the list of things you've done right and wrong this week. It's, how are you and Jesus going? It's personal. Jesus is a real, personal person. And so what we are shining is Jesus. And just to prove that I'm not making this stuff up, there's our passage from Philippians 2:15. So that you may shine like stars in the universe as you hold out. What are we to hold out? The word of life. Okay, we go to 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning what? So that which we have seen and heard and touched is who? Jesus. So I'm not making this up, am I? We are to shine the person of Jesus Christ. And then if we talk about the word, another famous verse, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I had a great argument about that with the JWs the other week. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And so for me, before we even start talking about doctrines and behaviours, we have to stop and pause and think, what we're actually shining is the person and the event of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's personal, and you've got to stop. Where is my personal, deep relationship with Christ? I mean, the Apostle Paul was so convinced that he could sum up all of life and death in one word, Jesus. Did you notice the reading before? This is the first verse we read, Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is... So his whole summary of what life is about, what is it we are to shine, what is it you're expressing? You are expressing the person of Jesus Christ. Everything in life and death is tied to Jesus. All hope or meaning in life is tied to Jesus. I googled the meaning of life this week to see what would come up on the internet. 42 is the meaning of life, yep. Google returned 679 million responses to the meaning of life. So it's a popular topic. There's some serious ones. There's the Monty Python ones, if you want to read the meaning of life. After Wikipedia, which was the first one, which had some really interesting stuff. But then the next one was all these quotes about the meaning of life. And the top one, as I opened it, said this: life has no meaning. Each of us has meaning and we bring it to life. It's a waste of time asking the question when you are the answer. And so the number one quote as I went on to Google out of the 679 million was basically saying, well, you've got to work it out because all the meaning's within you. And we wonder why so many people are confused and hurting. And the meaning of life is not you, is it? What does the Apostle Paul say? The meaning of life is what? Christ. And so what we are shining is Jesus Christ, the person. Before we start arguing about doctrines or behaviours, it is personal. Jesus Christ is real with believers. It's a relationship. And for the Apostle Paul, he says, well, my whole life is under the rule and reign of Jesus. Because Jesus is all meaning for life and death, everything comes under his umbrella. It's not I surrender some, it's I surrender all. There's a lot of people that have shown that Jesus is the most important thing, that to them meaning is found in Jesus. I was reading only this week, I forget where I read this article, but there's this guy, I can't even pronounce his name, Mehdi Dibadj. How do you say it? Mehdi Dibadj, there we go, very good. But he's in Iran. 1984, he got imprisoned for converting to Christianity from Islam. And so they put him in jail. The penalty was death. They left him languishing in jail for 10 years without doing anything. Just left him in prison for 10 years. At his trial, here's part of his testimony. Jesus Christ is our Saviour and he is the Son of God. To know him means to know eternal life. Life for me is an opportunity to serve him. And death is a better opportunity to be with Jesus. Therefore, I'm not only satisfied to be in prison for the honour of his holy name, but I'm ready to give my life for the sake of Jesus, my Lord. People like this inspire me. They inspire you. I mean, these are the people that get that verse, don't they? To me, to live is Christ, to die. These are the people that know that at the centre of all meaning of life is the person of Jesus Christ. Don't try and start somewhere else and then see how Jesus fits. Lots of people do that. They start with their own life, they start with their own experiences, or they start with what they like or don't like, or they start with even what their parents told them, or you don't start with this other stuff and then, well, how do I fit Jesus into what I like here? You know, it doesn't work like that. Jesus is the starting point of all meaning and all hope. Then you work out how does the rest of life work in light of Jesus? And it's people like this that understood that. Well, in December 12, 1993, he was eventually sentenced to death. But after a lot of pressure from a lot of governments, including the United States, he was actually released and released out of prison. And then a couple months later, he was found murdered in a local park. One of several Christians that had been released from jail, but then they were just killed anyway for their faith. A sad story. But I mean, surely that's like the super Christians, right? I mean, that's not for people like us. I mean, we're allowed to surrender some. We're in the new millennium. Well, that's a guy I think knew what we're supposed to know. To me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. What am I shining? I'm shining that Jesus Christ is all meaning, all purpose. Everything I hope and dream for is found in Jesus Christ. It starts with him before we start talking about other things. Now, again, I would say this guy knew the next verses in our passage as well. Because he says that he wants to serve God in this life or go to heaven. Philippians, the next two verses. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. So central is Jesus to the existence of all life. The Apostle Paul can say that it's actually better if I die and go to heaven. Now, most of us will say that with a head, but it's hard to grasp that, isn't it? I mean, most of us want to stay on this earth as long as we can. I mean, that's, we have this struggle for life, don't we, on this earth? I mean, most people you talk to, unless they're really, really sick, we want to stay here as long as we can. What can we do to prolong life? I mean, scientists are constantly working on what can we do to make life longer. I mean, that is a bold statement to say, you know what, it's actually better. I know it doesn't feel like it's actually better to be with Jesus. Now, that is a bold statement. But again, for this guy as well, if you saw that guy that was in Iran, he said, well, look, again, if I'm here on earth, I'm here to serve Jesus. But if I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. So it doesn't matter whether he's dying and going to heaven or whether he's here on earth. What is the center of all he does? I mean, we know this stuff, don't we? But today we're wrestling with our hearts to see where our hearts is Jesus actually at the center of all we do and hope and say and dream and spend our money on and our family life? Is Jesus really that close to us? He's real, he's personal with you. If you're a believer in God, if you've asked for Jesus' forgiveness, he's a real person. How close are you to him? People that can say, you know, I'm here to serve Jesus. Jesus is my hope. I read another article this week about a young boy in Uganda. And this young boy is a very poor, he's blind. And yet, the article I read said the amazing thing with this guy, Ronnie, is not that he's poor and blind and lives in Uganda, but whenever you meet him, he's always praising God. And he'll tell you about how much he loves Jesus and how much he's been praising God that day. I mean, guy's got nothing, right? Jesus is at the center of his life. And we get distracted by so many other things and we take Jesus away from his rightful place. If we are going to shine, we've got to start with the start. And it's Jesus Christ, the person. Well, the Apostle Paul says, to live is Jesus, to die is gain. So if I'm here on earth, it's to serve Jesus. And if I die, it's actually better. Then he goes on in verses 24 to 26. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. So for him, it's in this life, it's serving God, it's serving his church. I mean, the Apostle Paul here says, yeah, I'm going to stay on this earth, not because it's better, but because I can serve Jesus' church and I can serve God's people. And then this final verse in this passage says this: conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy of the gospel. We're starting, we're shining the person of Jesus Christ, it's personal, but we're also shining the event of Jesus Christ, his coming to earth, his death and resurrection. Amen. And a lot of times Christians, you know, they do lots of nice things. I'm happy to be known for feeding the poor or doing all these great things. But if it doesn't speak about the gospel that's represented in this communion meal, if it doesn't talk about the death and resurrection of Christ, we're doing it all in vain. The start of all our hope and what we're shining is the good news of Jesus Christ, the person, and the good news that he came and died and rose again. And tonight, I think James has got 1 Corinthians 15, don't you? Is that tonight? What is of most importance, says Paul, that Christ came and he died according to the scriptures and that he rose again. Jesus, the most important thing. And so today, that's my simple message for us, is to reflect on our relationship with Jesus. And so I told you today, it's not really that difficult to work out in our heads what we're talking about today. It's not that tough to, okay, I get it. But really today is a message of the heart. And it really is a message to ask each one of us what we're supposed to be shining and how we're going to do that if we don't get this. One of the most challenging verses in the Bible, I think, along with another one in Philippians that says, have the same attitude of Jesus, is this verse that, again, just tells us all of life is about Jesus. In this temporary life on this world, it's about serving Jesus. And apart from that, it's actually better to go and live with Jesus for eternity. I mean, Richard spoke about it, the hope about it today, in grief. And so today, as we think about what we're going to shine, we're going to think we're shining Jesus and the good news of Jesus. That's where it all starts. And we can talk about all the other behaviours and doctrines and things later. We start with the person of Jesus Christ. And so today is a day to enjoy this meal. This is a meal Jesus gave us. The bread. Well done, Jenny. There's your big bit of bread you gave me. That Jesus broke the bread, representing his broken body. And he gave this juice representing his blood that was shed. And anyone who wants to give thanks for Jesus is welcome to take it. But if you don't want to, that's fine. But today, everyone is welcome who wants to give thanks for Jesus' death and resurrection. And in this meal with these little elements of bread and juice, sometimes it's, I feel like, even for myself, and I'm sure for you, it's like we're giving Jesus the leftovers, right? He wants to be the center of the feast, and we're giving the scraps. He doesn't want to be on the sidelines. He doesn't want to be something you think about every now and then. He is a real person who wants a relationship with you all the time, and he wants to be at the center of what you're doing. And that is actually real hope. Because it's not religion where you say, well, what am I going to do so that God will go, oh, well, I like Matt. He's gone pretty good this week. It's not about that. It's about I have a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, and all that other stuff will flow out of that. It's great peace. And so today during communion, I want you to reflect on your own relationship with Jesus. Because if we're going to shine, we're going to shine Jesus. Not a program, not a ministry, not a doctrine. We're going to shine the person of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to stop and reflect right now in this moment of communion. How close do you feel to Jesus? How real is Jesus to you? Is it just something you think about on Sundays? Or is he that real person who's dear and near to your heart? Because if you're a believer, he's with you and he hasn't moved anywhere, right? If you're feeling distant from Jesus, who's moved? We have. He doesn't go anywhere. And so today, as we think about shining Jesus, we're going to stop. We're going to enjoy this meal together. And we are going to remember and think about our own relationship with Jesus. What needs to change in our life so that Jesus is at the center? What needs to happen so that we can recognize we're not in that deep relationship? He's not real to me all the time. He's just like this idea. Jesus is alive. He's a real person who wants to be close to you right now in this moment. So if I can have those that are serving to come forward, please. And so we're going to do what we normally do. We're going to take the bread, and I invite you to eat it whenever you're ready to take the bread. But we'll do what we normally do, and we'll hold onto that cup, and we'll drink that together as a sign of our unity. And there is some gluten-free there. Jenny will break. Take around if anyone needs that. Let's just pray and give thanks, and then we'll hand it out. Heavenly Father, as we do want to be a church that shines like stars in this world, but we want to make sure we're shining the right thing. And so thank you that today, with this simple message, it's not difficult in our head to grasp, but our hearts need to grasp that Jesus is the central meaning to all life, that Jesus is a central hope to all life, that life is about serving Jesus and his church and spending eternity with Jesus. And everything else in life fits in around that. It's not that those other things don't matter. It's not that those other things, we can't do them. We thank you even for the example of the Apostle Paul, that sometimes when he was preaching, he was also making tents. He was working. We do work. We live. But the center of all we do is the person of Jesus Christ. You're real Jesus. We claim that this morning. This is not an idea or a concept. This is the real living Jesus Christ. And so we would pray in this moment, you might help us to draw nearer to you. You haven't moved, God, but help us to draw nearer to you, that we would be in a real, vibrant relationship with Jesus. And that as we begin to shine all these other things, people would see we're shining Jesus. And we could be like some of these super Christians that we're reading about that give all for Jesus. They recognize Jesus is life. Jesus is hope in death. So God, meet us in this moment. Challenge those things in our life where we've left you on the fringes and not the center, but be near to us and be real to us so that what we're shining is you, Jesus. We will pray. Amen.